brother. What's up?
This is a good recording, man.
Yeah,
I
brother,
can dig
like,
it.
Stop right on.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Luke. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well, Earl. This is a much nicer morning, you know, for the drive in. But yesterday, I didn't have the sun coming down 94.
Yeah.
Today, I was blinded almost the entire drive-in.
Yeah, but man, if you're going to come, come to visit, man, bring the warm weather.
Let the sun do its work. It's going to start warming up today. It cooled off a little bit last night, but that's not my fault.
Cooled off? It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Hey, Sandy, what's going on?
Well, you and I went to the Bucks game last night, and the main thing, the most exciting part about that game was waiting outside after the game for the ride, because it was about a 40-mile-an-hour wind. Very cold. Very cold.
Hang on, Earl. I was in town yesterday, and I was going to be in town today, and you had an extra ticket to the Bucks game?
Well, no.
Sandy had the extra ticket. Okay, yeah. Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah. I see how it is. Okay. All right.
And what he's saying is unusual. It was 40 degrees.
Yeah.
And that wind.
That was unbearable. And the game itself was interesting because, boy, the Bucks looked pretty clumsy. It was a clumsy episode for them, at least the first half. We left after the third quarter.
What?
Sounds like the fourth quarter was good.
You gentlemen left after the third quarter? You didn't even stay for the full Bucks game?
Well, you got to get up early for this show.
I know. I watched the whole thing, and I got up early.
He's
still.
30, he's 30 years old.
You watched it laying in bed.
Yep. No, I don't have a TV in my bedroom. I watched it from the comfort of my living room, but I would have happily driven home or found accommodations, overnight, and I would have stayed for the full game, Sandy. Well, next time you got to take me instead of Earl.
Let me tell you, I got season tickets, and I never stay for the full game until they matter.
Oh, this is painful. I'm being hurt right now.
So we've actually left sometimes at halftime.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. All right. You gentlemen have a great show. I'm just going to turn the microphone off now because my mother told me that if I have nothing nice to say, I shouldn't say anything at all.
Well, when you're doddering old guys, you leave before the crowd.
Oh, my goodness.
I get it, and I don't want to be around at the end and struggle. I see people, they sit there, even if the Bucks are up or losing, and there's no way they can win, they sit there to the horn sounds. You're one of those guys, huh?
That's correct.
Oh.
That's correct. It would have to be like a 40-point blowout for me to leave, because I
It's sacrilege.
I was going to say, I don't have season tickets, so I guess I don't know the feeling of having the ability to go to all of them like that. But when I go to a game, we went to the right before the All-Star break, or I forget if it was right after, the Nuggets were in town. And right. So it was kind of a last minute. It was a Monday night thing. Kelsey and I decided, you know what? We're just going to jump in the car. We're going to go to the game. And we were winning handedly, but I still stayed for the entire thing because I wanted to watch the Bucks game because I don't get to do it all that often.
Yeah. 30 mm-hmm. years old. Yeah.
Yeah. I get it.
It was a good game, too. Like, it was close. You're telling me you left after the third quarter with a close game like that?
It was a nail-biter.
It was.
Yeah.
Nick Nurse, the coach for the 76ers, he knows how to coach a defense against Giannis. He was the...
You're right. And I was reading... I think it might have been earlier this morning, and Doc Rivers finally admitted, we have trouble with fast-paced teams.
Yeah.
Upscale teams. Well, to admit that means there's nothing they can do to change it.
Well, it wasn't even the fast pace. Well, it's the points off of the turnovers that the 76ers were doing really well with yesterday because Nick Nurse knows how to build a wall. Like, you against Giannis, you can't let Giannis gain any steam. You can't let Giannis become that fast-paced player
oh
that Doc Rivers says
running down the Bucks rabbit hole here.
I will have. Do you see the hat I'm wearing? I'm mortified still that you left after the third quarter. They took the lead in the fourth won the game. They put it away.
Giannis ended up getting us 30 points, but he did have 8 turnovers.
Yes, because Nick Nurse knows how to coach a defense against Giannis.
Well, I mean, he did it when it was at
Toronto. The whole reason the Giannis and the Bucks didn't get to go to the finals in 2019 was because Nick Nurse and the Raptors took care of business.
Well, supposedly getting Damian Lillard was supposed to get us out of Giannis going 1-5.
And Dame, had you stayed for the game, you would have watched Dame take over in the fourth quarter. Interestingly, and he took care of business.
Apparently, Damian Lillard can't make points in the first half. But he makes them in the second half.
Nonsense. Yeah, well, that's nonsense.
It's kind of true. Yeah. I mean, we watched the game also, Luke, and not just last night, but I've watched the games, almost most of them, and something happens. You know, Damian Lillard is not having the greatest of seasons.
Define greatest of seasons, to perform like he was the only all-star that he was on Portland's team? Because that's not going to happen. You're simply not going to see the same production he was doing in Portland now that he's on a team with Giannis Antetokounmpo, Brooke Lopez, Chris Middleton. Like, it's...
How do you do it? How do you do it, Sandy?
We're far enough down the bucket. All right,
we'll put a cap on it there.
You and I are going to have a conversation on the side.
There we go.
You know, Sandy, where do we begin? 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuning into the Earl Ingram Show. It's Friday. Friday's my co-host, Sandy Williams. And Sandy, you and I, as we were scouring, you know, what to talk about this morning, I just, the more I looked at things and all these different places and sites and even last night, and so as far as real news, there's not a whole lot on, you know, on the national scale. Certainly we're going to talk some about Chuck Schumer and his response to Netanyahu in Israel. We certainly can talk about, you know, other things. But I thought it was really important, Sandy, and we want you, the listening audience, to kind of walk with us and let us know from your perspective, your thoughts. Because, Sandy, speaking for myself, I'm terrified with where this nation is headed. And no matter how hard I try to say, well, even if Joe Biden wins, he can save it. I don't even know. Again, I've never seen anything like this in my lifetime. And I'd like to know what people's thoughts are, Sandy, about where this nation is headed.
Well, you know, I told you when I was driving in, I was thinking about authoritarianism. Why is it that the world in many countries is swinging in the direction of authoritarianism? I mean, Schumer takes Netanyahu to task. One of the things Netanyahu is a more authoritarian leader of Israel and a right-wing authoritarian. And obviously what we have going in the United States is the MAGA cult is really a movement towards authoritarianism, investing a lot of power in an individual, a strong man. Obviously, Donald Trump gives accolades to the strongman leaders around the country. You know, his greeting for Viktor Orban, Mar-a-Lago, was a tribute to him as a strongman, and that he was a great leader because he was a strongman. Right. And so this is obviously what Donald Trump wants to be, and I think the people who are backing Donald Trump want that. And my question is, why? Why are many Americans leaning in the direction of wanting to... Their frustration with the democratic process leads them in the direction, as claimed patriots, of wanting to basically veer off of the democratic process and veer in the direction of authoritarianism. And I think it's because democracy and the paralysis that we've had in the United States since 1995 or 2000 has people frustrated. It's not delivering to them, they think, what they want. And so they're looking for the man who will do it, the leader who will announce that they will exercise all of their power to get what they want.
You know, Sandy, the democratic process and the Democrats, they're not one and the same. So when I hear people, you know, the democratic process of this nation is under duress. And so, but people seem to think that that means Democrat. But it's our whole system.
Yeah, what worries me is that people think that they can move in the direction of authoritarianism without losing the benefits of democracy, and the two are incompatible. Authoritarianism is the obverse, it's the opposite of democracy.
So the reason that this conversation is so important, and listen, I want to hear the opinions of all of you. And if maybe I know it's just not Sandy and I who are really alarmed, because the alarm bells are going off every day. Every day the alarm bells are going off that something is, that our nation is in for a major change, regardless of whether Biden gets elected or whether Donald Trump gets elected. The America that we knew is in flux. And whether we want to accept it or not, it is. And so we need to have the conversation. 844-967-2789. I'd love to have your ideas and your opinions on it. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
Don't punish me with brutality. Come on, talk to me. You can see what's going on.
At 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Fridays with Sandy Williams. So Sandy, you know, I think the American people are not just frustrated because of what is happening, but they kind of feel like they're tired of this conversation.
Well, I think the American people are frustrated with their government. And I think this might, in some respects, be the ultimate crime of money in politics, dark money in politics. Politics seems to be unresponsive to us, the people. And so we're all getting the sense that someone else is in charge, okay? And maybe there are a bunch of people, these people who are leaning in the direction of having an authoritarian leader, are figuring, well, you know what? I'm tired of having the guy behind the green curtain who I can't see calling the shots. Better that we get my guy. Better that I get my guy out in front who's telling me what he's going to accomplish. Because, you know, in many respects, this whole question of the deep state, while I can define it as a fight against government and government employees, it might be that people who are thinking about the deep state when the words are used are really thinking about this government that is unresponsive to them. It's responsive to somebody else, this deep state that's doing the bidding of other people, but not me. And so I'm looking for someone, if that's what I'm fighting against, then I'm going to want to elect the guy that's going to do my bidding, okay? I want somebody to do my bidding. And he'll get things accomplished because he said he will. And so that's going to be okay because I'm frustrated with the way democracy has operated to date. And, you know, maybe the Supreme Court should sit back and think about what has happened to democracy in that respect, because I really believe that money and politics, much the way Tom and some of the other callers who call in talk about, money and politics has destroyed the connection between people and their government, and it makes them want to get somebody else in charge.
So, Sandy, Luke is a young guy.
Yeah.
Well, we got some texts coming in, too, though. Earl.
Okay, what do you have, sir?
So we got texts from Steve here in Milwaukee saying that, yes, Congress has no priorities. TikTok and a 32-hour work week, ? And then Steve rounds out his text with, Ron Johnson has no desire to pass any legislation. So that's Steve in Milwaukee.
So let me ask you, Luke, you're a young guy. What?
You guys keep telling me that, but I'm feeling older and older every day.
Well, that's the way it works, Luke. You do get older and older every day, but in the grand scheme of things.
Thanks for pointing out the joke, Sandy. Thank you.
But Luke, as a young man, mm-hmm. and as you watch what is going on, and your generation, because you can speak for your generation, are they just not connected to the political reality right now that's going on and what's happening in our country politically?
I think there's a lot of people from my generation that are connected politically. You see it in millennials and Gen Z voters have taken over as the largest voting block in the country now. So we're engaged. We just don't see the results all the time. We see octogenarian. One of my biggest grievances is the fact that it is too pretty close to 80-year-old candidates again. Now that's not going to be to the point that I'm not going to participate in the political process, but I would love to see some younger elected officials at all levels.
We agree with that. Sandy and I have agreed. Sandy,
I know I'm not saying you disagree. No, I mean, I don't think you guys disagree.
Yeah, the baby boomers,
that
we just haven't transferred power like we should have, like was transferred to us. We took over when we were 30 and 35.
So hand me the reins. Let me take over. Yeah. I'm there. I'm at 30.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, so your generation is angry that they're still waiting in the wings.
I think a lot of people have checked out of the political process. If they are checked out, I think that could be a large driving factor. I think the redundancy that you see sometimes in choices isn't just for the age of the candidates, though, too. You had H.W. Bush, and then you had Clinton, and then you had W. Bush, and then there was a very different candidate in President Obama for 8 years, and then you had another Clinton, and then you have Trump, and Trump's still around, and now so it's a lot of redundancies, and the choices don't spread far over the last my entire lifetime.
What about parties? What does your generation think about parties, Democrats or Republicans?
That's hard on me, man. I can't sum up the whole generation.
Well, do you think we need more than two parties, or do you think your generation would push in the direction of fracturing the system to the point of having multiple parties?
I would love some more choices, but at the same time, I know that currently the way that things are structured, it is a two-party system. And the hard part is having those two parties acknowledge and making those changes. They don't want to do that. Republicans and Democrats alike don't want to make it right, so that it's a multi-party, because then they lose the power that they have in the two-party system.
Although, you know, a state like where they have rank order voting.
Rank choice voting, I think, would be excellent.
And
to
could get you, multiple parties could operate in that context.
Yes, but that would be more for local elections. I don't know if that necessarily applies all the way to to state federal elections, but I think varying it up, getting some new ideas and stuff like that is an absolutely good idea.
All right. 844-967-2789. It's Friday. It means Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Phone lines are open. You know, they're tuned in to 540 AM WAUK. Up next, news, weather, and sports.
Me, I'm not alone anymore. For once I can say, this is mine, you can take it. Long as I know I have love, I can make it. For once in my life, I have someone who needs me. Oh, for once in my life, there's somebody that needs me.
At 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And breaking news, the New York Times just reported Fannie Willis is staying in on the Trump case. Sandy, you?
Well, I think I read this. And the text message earlier had told us the same thing. But I think that the judge is requiring that she remove the attorney that she hired, the outside attorney that she hired, who she was allegedly involved with, that he be removed from the case, which is kind of disabling, actually. If he's the guy in charge of developing the case,
right?
That's probably a bigger problem than if Fannie herself had been removed from the case.
But so it pushes everything back.
I don't know about that. She'd have to come forward and say she needs a delay as a result of it. I doubt if she'll do that. So somebody else will be in charge of the case.
But if that guy built the case...
Well, he's got a staff. The cases like this get built by teams of people. He was the captain of the team, so someone else will be captain now.
All right. Before we went to break, we were talking about, you know, where people's minds are. Our nation is clearly under duress. And, you know, I have conversations with people at times, and they'll say, you're exaggerating. Everything is fine. I said, well, everything may be fine in your individual life, and you may be doing well, But collectively, if you look at where we are and all of these different things that our nation is facing, I don't know how you can say everything is all right. You know, individually, things are happening for you. That's good. But Sandy, I just see a road that is so worrisome to me of where our nation is headed.
Well, I think that the symptom of that is this trend towards authoritarianism. People trend towards that when they're upset with the way things are going, and they're looking for somebody who will do what their bidding is, you know, what they want. And the problem is that lots of people want things accomplished. Many of them are different from their neighbors. But if somebody's promising to do all things for all people, which is kind of the MAGA, right? Make America great again. He's not explaining how, but in everyone's mind, they can leap to the notion that he's going to do what they need. And we have a middle class that's no longer thriving the way it did in our day, okay? We have a middle class that has this, we have this problem with the architecture of our economy that needs to be resolved. I think Biden is, his policies, the budget that he proposed, went a long way in the direction of being aimed at the right things. But there's not enough time being spent talking about it, about explaining to the people what it is that's going to be accomplished on their behalf. And instead, every day we have shiny objects we talk about, things that are important to the day. It's a brush fire. We live a life of daily brush fires without time spent deliberating about what it is that we need to accomplish in the long run, and in particular, the long run for Tom, Dick, and Mary. And the more we do that, the more likely it is that Tom, Dick, or Mary will defect from the democratic process as we know it and lean in the direction of trying to find their white knight, you know, the one who's going to come along and accomplish what they need. And this whole authoritarian thing is the pursuit of the white knight. You know, in our mind, it's a black hat, but for the people who want that, it's a white knight.
And I mean, to see Donald Trump as that white knight is, you know, more than frustrating. So
I think he'd have trouble finding a suit of armor.
let's go to the phone lines and Tom from LA. Hey, good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. The biggest problem in all of this is the conservative Supreme Court decision of Citizens United and the money in politics. I mean, if you're a young person and you're trying to maybe get into politics and you realize that you have to raise so much money just to even get in the game, that's going to frustrate you and you're not going to get in the game. Whereas the people that have been there for years and years and years, they already got their war chest put together. They already got their donors put together. They have their name recognition already there. So, you know, I don't see it as the older generation wanting to give up power. I see it more that the younger generation can't get the power because they don't have the money to run for office. I would love to run for office, but I am not going to go out there and have to raise millions of dollars just in order to get into the political process. So then basically just have it where the person that's working a private sector job can make a heck of a lot more than I'm going to make. And I think another thing is we need public financing of campaigns. We do need ranked choice voting if we don't get money out of politics. And we also need to make a rule that you cannot spend any more than what your job pays for a year for a campaign.
So,
I mean, this is just ridiculous.
So, Tom, we need those things, but they're not going to happen, okay?
No, Earl, but us saying that they're not going to happen is already giving up the fact that it's not going to happen. You know what I'm saying? We have got to say, no, we need to make the change. If Hillary Clinton would have won, we would have actually had different Supreme Court justices on the Supreme Court, and it would have happened because Citizens United would have been overturned. H.R. 1, which is a bill that the Democrats put out there to get money out of politics, would have happened if we would have had over majority of people. So I don't want to fall into that trap that, oh, man, it's just never going to happen. If I did that, I wouldn't have been any success in my life. So the thing is, we got to say a can-do attitude that, yes, this can happen, but we have got to do, and we got to laser focus on getting money out of politics every which way we can. And whether you're on the Democratic side or the Republican side, we should all be able to agree that you can't be bought by the highest bidder, and that it's not, and that legal bribery is okay.
Hey, Tom, thank you guys very much.
Have a good weekend.
For the call. Lou, who do we have up next?
We got Mike and Kenosha on the line.
Hey, Mike, how you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I couldn't agree more with the last caller, by the way. I think he is spot on. But I want to focus in on how these polls have been such a negative, have had a negative impact on the public, for example. You know, what you hear in these questions, these polls ask is always, you know, how do you feel about the American economy, or, you know, are we going in the wrong direction or right direction? Kind of, you know, a real
namby-pamby. Yeah.
Right. But right. You can manipulate it and make it come out any way you want. Well, you know, so when we recognize that we have this huge silo of disinformation on the right, and many of the opinions, I'm assuming for sure, that are offered in these polls are from that pocket of the demographic. So I can't, I just can't even wrap my mind around, you know, a lot of these polls. They just don't make sense to me. And of course, you know, recognizing that much of the opinions are based on lies, based on misinformation and propaganda, you know, that's why I believe so much in what you guys are doing with civic media. You know, keeping it local, state and local, that's where the action is. That's where it's much easier to see the trees through the forest and get things done. And finally, I want to say to Tom's point, the fixes are doable. He is spot on. Good things happen when people are engaged and aware, and we can make a difference for sure. But yeah, that's what I wanted to say is the polls that we're seeing now, they're all it is there to influence us. They're not there to inform us at all.
Hey, Mike, thank you very much for the call. Sandy, you want to respond in here?
Well, I definitely agree that things can be accomplished. But the main thing, what's required to accomplish it is action by people, okay? And so one of the problems we have is apathy. And what we have to fight through is apathy and get people to actually hold the feet to the fire of the elected officials they have, because they're the ones who are going to have to pass the laws to change the laws so that those people who want to get into politics can do it more easily, as Tom was describing. Right now, the power of incumbency is overwhelming. And it's only the only time it isn't overwhelming, apparently, is on the Republican side. If you're a Republican and you run against the will of Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans, you're going to face a primary, okay? And in gerrymandered states where the primary is all that matters, then I guess there are people who have tenuous positions. But incumbency is very, very powerful right now. And what we need to do is get people to overcome apathy, to become active. It's a little harder to overcome apathy in a middle class that isn't thriving. And they aren't not thriving because of the inflation that's being blamed. They're not thriving because we need to address the architecture of the economy. And that's what Biden's policies are aimed at right now.
You know, Sandy, I try really hard to kind of put my feet in other people's shoes. And because I live in a community and live a life that is not opulent by any stretch of the imagination, and I have sons who are 40, 44 and 46 years old or somewhere around there, and my wife would kill me. But they're in that age bracket, and one that's 35 or 36. So I know I've got younger sons who are like in that area where things aren't as fluid for them as they were for you and I when we were. And I feel for them because they work every day. And so I understand that there's a system that they've got to deal with that's different than the one you and I dealt with. And so I understand their frustrations. But how do you get a group of people who look at a guy who's looking to even tear it down further and say, oh, with all the struggling we're dealing with, that's the answer. That guy's going to fix it. That's the part I don't. It's hard for me to come to grips with that part of it.
Yes. Why would they identify that person as the white knight?
Yes.
Yeah. That, to me, is the issue with Donald Trump. Why are so many people deciding that he is the white knight? And we ought to spend some time as an American public reflecting on that, because it's a goofy. This guy is not Ivanhoe, okay? he's the furthest thing from Ivanhoe. But a lot of people out there are deciding that he's that knight that's going to take charge and accomplish what they want to have accomplished.
All right. 844-967-2789 is the number. You know, it's Friday, and that's Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us that same number. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. So, Sandy, the RNC fires dozens of employees after Trump-backed leadership takes over.
Yeah, I think the number up to today is like 60.
Yeah, up people. 60. Yes. Yeah. Says so, 60 people
so,
have been fired.
You know, and the co-chair of the committee is someone named Laura Trump. She's a daughter-in-law. I mean, you know, every presidential cycle, the national committee, I think, normally aligns itself with the campaign and will have a chairman of the RNC who is sympathetic to and recognized by the campaign as someone who is loyal to the campaign. But this particular change is much more like a putsch. You know, it's like a coup d'etat, and it's Apprentice, the TV show Apprentice in action in the Republican Party, and it's unusual in that respect because it's so radical, and the apparently the litmus of loyalty to MAGA runs all the way through in terms of the RNC. The national committees of each parties are made up of people who are elected locally, okay? So it's sort of a grassroots organization, but this is particularly un-grassroots-like. This is from the top.
You know, Sandy, Donald Trump, block brick by brick, has grabbed a hold of the Republican Party and made it his own.
Well, and he's also created a situation in which there are no naysayers. There's nobody to voice the other side. And I'm confident that this next administration is going to look the same way, and that's a problem. I mean, we're going to have a national leader. Where is he to get elected? Which, who is relying solely on himself and his instincts, as he says, he relies on his gut. And I don't think the American public and the American system is going to do well in that microbiome, which is kind of a joke.
So our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. I know there's some MAGA and Trump supporters listening. And I would just let us know what it is about this man. But I mean, I know people, Sandy, that they've separated from their mothers and fathers over this. That, yeah, you know, brothers and sisters.
Yeah, why is this person, the white knight, who they would expect, exercising his instincts, will do the thing that is good for them? That's what I'm curious about.
Well, but here's a guy who clearly is not going, has never done anything for anybody else. His MO is always about himself. That's the part of it I don't understand, Sandy. I could maybe understand if they were enamored with a guy who says, hey, you people who struggle every day, when I get in office, I'm going to turn that around for you. I'm going to make sure that you don't have any problems with eating every day. I'm going to make sure that you don't have any problem, whether he could do it or not.
Yeah.
But at least said he was focusing on somebody other than himself. He's never done that. So why would you vote for a person who's not going to have your best interests at heart and only his own? That's the dilemma that I just will, you know, it makes my head explode. You know, and maybe if you had that answer, you wouldn't be sitting here.
Well, you know, in the last go around, it was Roe v. Wade. You know, he made a promise there, which he did fulfill. But I think that's what bought the evangelicals and brought them to heal. And since then, it's, however, just been a blind faith. He's basically talked only about how it is that he's a martyr and that the American public needs to elect him in order to protect themselves because he's a martyr on their behalf. And his martyrdom is apparently involved with all of the illegal conduct which he's being charged with. That's the martyr status that he's got. It's remarkable.
You know, you mentioned the evangelicals. We're certainly going to talk about that because part of where he gets his juice, if you will, are the evangelicals and the evangelical movement. And I think they probably locked in with him based on the Roe versus Wade. And because he delivered on that, they went all in with him because he was able to deliver what they thought was the most important issue of the day.
Well, it was the most important issue of the day until it was resolved. Now they're moving on from that, apparently. You know, who knows? Birth control might be the next important issue of the day, but it's remarkable, and it's kind of remarkable if you look at the demographics of the country and the socioeconomic issues of the country, cultural, because the number of people who claim an affinity to a religion is going down in this country, including Christianity, but the number of people who claim Christianity and are evangelicals, the percentage is going way up. So the evangelical movement is basically, it's a little bit like the conservative movement in the Republican Party. It's a growing part of a shrinking organization.
You know, and when you look at that from the perspective of that should never be because our nation was supposed to be protected from that, from that very power that they have, the founding fathers supposedly insulated us from that.
Well, I think the evangelicals think that because there is this slow diminution in the number of people who are claiming to be religious, that they need to seize the power of government to try and reverse that trend. They're going to get government on their side to reverse the trend, which is clearly not what the pilgrims were looking at.
All right. 844-967-2789. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Up next, news, weather, and sports.